3:14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, good morning, church family and friends. I feel a whole lot better. I could preach for hours. Yeah, I think if I did, I'd be the only one here, right? Yeah. So I guess we'll skip the flu shot, since I've already gotten the flu. I don't know. I really appreciate Dylan and all of our young men who are able to serve and to take an active part in reading scriptures and doing what they do. And also I appreciate our young ladies. They may not have such a public or prominent role, but our young ladies do some wonderful things that only they can do, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Amen? All right. Let's go. Oh, by the way, Tony and Anita got rid of a son yesterday. Married him off to a young lady by the name of Brenda, and we pray God's blessings upon them as they begin their married life together. The Apostle Paul loved the church. He often tried to draw the attention of the various letters that he would write to various congregations about how important it was for the church to be faithful, to be strong, that their faith, their belief, their doctrine, and their practice would remain true to the way that Christ established the church. That is not always possible sometimes, because from time to time, and as you begin to read throughout the New Testament, you realize when you get to 1 Timothy and off to 2 Timothy that the church, even back in the first century, hardly knew out of the box that they were having problems. And I think problems arise because we are wandering or not true to the constant that should be in our life. The constant has always been, in my mind, to be Jesus Christ. As Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the further we get away from that, the further we get away from the constant in our life, there is this tendency to fall prey to the doctrine and traditions and commandments of men rather than to the way God and Jesus Christ wants us to be as a church. Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus, Paul also writes. He asks that the church try to teach and preach the same things, and that we honor the constant in our lives, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and for all time. And so Paul writes, and of course we know the fourth chapter about the unity that should be in the church. Paul writes for and prays for the spiritual strength of the church at Ephesus, but also for every believer, for every congregation that is established in the name of Christ. He says, for this reason I am bowing my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened. I think that was Paul's major focus, is that the church would be strong, that the church would continually be refreshed and strengthened with good teaching, preaching. And of course, it's all sewn up, and it's very visible when the church loves, because that is so important. It says, strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, with everybody. It says, what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, the full dimension of all of this. It says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness, it says, of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we, than all that we ask or think. I think what Paul is saying is, stop limiting God on things. You need to open up your vision as to what God can do in your life, what God can do here at Mountain View. And certainly of recent time, we have just recently started to review and revisit the question of what is the future of the Mountain View congregation at this location? And is there a new future for us as we envisioned out at the property there on Peterson and North Care Street? So that is not the only dream that we should be having, but it is part of who we are as a congregation. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That power has already been named. That power is called the Holy Spirit. That power is Christ dwelling in us by faith. The same Christ who is the Hebrews 13 verse 8. And the same Christ today, the one that was the same yesterday, the one that is the same today, and the one that will be the same forever. And we need to hold on to that. He says, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want you to turn to Hebrews 13. I wished I could say that no matter where you would go, where the saints meet, that we are teaching and preaching the same thing. That is not the case, sadly. There are things that are changing. Some things for the good and some things that are putting our spiritual relationship with God in jeopardy. And we need to be rooted and grounded in the Scripture. We need to be rooted and grounded in Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no change. You know, the idea of being a constant is that it's fixed. It doesn't change. It doesn't move around. It doesn't alter. That you can always go back to him and take your cue. He is the anchor of our souls. He is the one who can who has always the authority to show us where we are and how to remain true to the focus and the center of who we are as a people. In verse 7 it says of Hebrews 13, remember your leaders I take it that that would be still in the time of the apostles. That would also be still in the time of those early elders and deacons that were set up, which have become a pattern for church leadership today. Remember your leaders and those who spoke to you the word of God. It says, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It says, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be led away by a diverse and strange teaching. You know, when you start to think about that, and you start going through Scripture, you realize that there were things happening in the first century church, problems that we had to deal with, problems that we had to sort out. But there always had to be the need to have a constant in the life of the church and in the life of every Christian, and that was Jesus. Jesus is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And then, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read these words. But understand this, that in the last days, in latter times, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud and arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. They become brutal and not loving good, treacherous and reckless. You know, when you hear that, you know, he is describing not only things, the condition of life outside of the body, but also these can be items that come into the body of Christ. It says, treacherous and reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And the one thing that I think concerns me is that we can have the appearance of godliness, but we can end up denying the very power of it in our life. That power goes back to the source, Jesus Christ. That power was also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3 about the Spirit that God has placed in us by faith, even Jesus Christ. And then he says, avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households to capture weak women. It says, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning but never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. I'm concerned that even today, not just weak women that this can affect, but it can also affect congregations of the Lord's people. Could it happen here? Sure it could. And the thing is we need to be strong. We need to be rooted and grounded in our faith. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Not in the opinions of man. Not in the wave of popular things that are going around. One of the things that I think has disturbed me as a Christian was recent changes in law, such as same-sex marriage. The wave that winning so many people over on changing their view or opinion on homosexuality. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. These are things that are happening in this country. It's happened in the UK. It's happening in Germany. It's happening just all over the place. It doesn't call for me to be ugly and hateful to those who are trapped by this. But it causes me to be concerned that there is a movement in some of our congregations to capitulate, to get in line. As for me, I cannot capitulate. I will not capitulate. I think we need to be true to the Word, be true to our constant, that we need to bring a gospel that saves everybody. But not everybody wants faith. That's the sadness about it. And so the Apostle Paul goes on to say that there were some who were turning to myth. That you'll find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There are different troublesome practices that are coming into the church today. Some are wavering. Some are unsure as to what all of this is about. I don't think we do the Lord's body any good by introducing things that are divisive in the body of Christ. What happens is we end up stop preaching the gospel and we start teaching something else. Jesus is always my constant. I hope he will be your constant today. Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament. I think the Old Testament can throw some great light on this. Isaiah chapter 5, I think, is one place that I would like to address your attention this morning. And I did promise, my voice is still a little weak, and I will not give you the full bale of hay today. We'll save that for another time. But in Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet there lists, I think I have marked in my Bible, at least six concerns. He calls them woes. He talks about the, in verse 8, he says, "Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field until there is no more room." And I don't think he's talking about saving green space, but I think he's talking about materialism. It says, "And you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land." Verse 11, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may run after strong drink." Seems like, you know, God's people over history and time have been greatly affected by the prevailing winds of the time. I hope that we today will not jump on the changing morals bandwagon. I hope and pray that we will still stay true to Him and also continue to preach and teach the gospel with love. But I don't have to capitulate to what Washington says is law now. And they can deport me if they want to. Because I'm not a citizen, but I am a citizen of heaven. Broke my heart when the Queen capitulated to basically say it's okay on same-sex marriage that homosexuality is now legal. But you know, she's just a queen. She's not my Savior. She's not my King, not my God. My God is Jesus. My King is Jesus. He says, woe, verse 18. "Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin as with cart ropes, and who say, 'Let him be quick, let him speed his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come that we may know it.'" You know, that's in your face to God. You know, I once thought that America was a godly land. I think we're becoming less. But you know something? God will hold us accountable too. Because it's not we go so as the nation does. We live because God said, and we do because God said. Our life is not a house number.
either in the House of Representatives or in the Senate. We take our cue from this. And we need to remember this. We need to be rooted and grounded in this. The less we study from this, the less we practice from this, the more susceptible will we be to the innovations that are coming and going in the world and in the church. Verse 20, he says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." You remember a time when we knew what moral values were? We're raising a generation today and future generations who may be so confused they don't know which is right and which is wrong. And we need to do our part. You know, we're only a generation away from the next apostasy. One generation away. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." He says, "Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You don't know where you're coming or going. But if you're rooted and grounded in the truth, if you're firmly established in the Word of God, if you are attached to the constant who gives us our direction, who tells us where true north is, we can steer a course through all of the changes that are going on around us. And we may have to pay a high price for staying faithful to God, for staying faithful to Jesus Christ. Maybe it'll be a diminished membership. Maybe not. Sometimes when you stand up to what is wrong, what is evil, what is ungodly, we may get hammered, but God will be pleased that His people remain true and faithful. Verse 21 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, shrewd in their own sight." I guess that happened. It happened to a preacher. It happened to me. That I become my own best authority. I pray to God I never come like that. I pray that we never become so self-important that we ignore this and ignore the God that we love and serve. That we move away from the constant in our lives, Jesus Christ. He says in verse 22, "Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, valiant men and mixing strong drink, who quit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his rights." And you know what the antidote to that was? God sent out a prophet called Isaiah. And he says, "I want you to do this." In chapter 6, he says, "I heard a voice of the Lord." This is at verse 8. "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?'" God is still asking that question of us. Not just of preachers. Not just of elders, not just of deacons, but ask of every one of us, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah plucked up some courage and he says, "Well, Lord, here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but don't perceive." He says, "Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see." What God was really hoping was a reverse. He wanted real change to happen in the lives of His own people and in the lives of sinners. He wanted people to open up and see what was happening. You know, have you ever seen that experiment of a frog being placed in a pan of water? It just sits there and splashes around there. You know, rivet, rivet, rivet. And then you turn on the heat. Just a little bit of heat. Ever so slightly. And it still prances around there. Rivet, rivet, rivet. pan's getting a little warm, but the frog just turn up the heat a little more, a little more, a little more, a little, until the pot is boiling and that frog is cooked. That's what can happen to us as a people. We don't realize that the heat is being turned up, and we don't realize what is happening to us. God says, you won't realize what's going on unless you open your eyes, unless you listen with your ears, unless you understand with your heart, and you turn to me and you be healed.
Oh, I think I've stood on my soapbox long enough today. But I want you to finish off by going back to Hebrews 13, because there is a word of grace to be mentioned. Hebrews chapter 13, and start in there at verse 7. And I think this is powerful. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, don't be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Isn't that the same grace that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 2? That you have been saved by what? Not by the works of man, not by the works of your own hands, but by the work of God through Christ on the cross. If anybody was doing any work, it was Jesus on the cross. He became the author and finisher of our faith. Mountain View, we're not a perfect congregation, and you've never had a perfect preacher. Right? A little long-winded, yeah. But the thing is this. As long as we stay with the constant, Jesus, same yesterday, same Jesus today, same Jesus forever, we will stay on track with God. We forget that. If we move away from Him, we lose everything that was rooted and grounded, firmly established in the truth, and then we will become the also-ran. We will become less in God's sight. And maybe there'll come a time when we will stop preaching the Word of God. I pray that never happens. I pray that we will not give up what we have been given. There is someone here today that wants to become a Christian. I'm calling you to the constant. I am calling you, not to me, not to the elders, not to the Mountain View Church. I am calling you to Jesus Christ, because He saved those yesterday. He will save you today. And for those who have yet to make a decision, even in the future, He can save those who are yet to name the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to be faithful. I want us to be true to the Word, straight as the die. I'm not interested in innovation. I'm more interested in us being inspired by the very words that we read out of the Book of God. And I pray that it will lead us to greater and higher things in our spiritual development as a people of God. We may be in the minority, but as far as God is concerned, we have the majority, because God is our constant. Jesus is our constant. Will you repent? Will you confess Jesus to be the Son of the living God? Do you have the kind of faith that will take you to the baptistry for you to be baptized for the remission of your sins? What Jesus did on the cross is explained and demonstrated in the watery grave.
And then to rise to walk in the newness of life. Can you come and do that today? Do you want to do that today? Don't do it to please anybody. If you're going to please somebody, please God. But do it because your heart has been convicted of sin. Won't you come while together we stand at sin?
All things are ready. Come.